When we think about fathers, one of the words that comes to mind, at least one of the words that comes to my mind, is the word faithful. This morning we're going to do a word study on the word faithful. It's used a number of times in the New Testament. And one of the places where we find that term is in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. Jesus, when he talked about servants, he said that there are some servants who are faithful, but he also used the word wise. A wise and a faithful father will show that sensibility in a lot of different ways. And one of those ways would be in raising children. In our time, it is not difficult to find fathers who do not use much sense when it comes to raising kids. In fact, when we look at our time, and Father's Day is always a challenging lesson for any preacher. I know that's perhaps for most preachers one of the dreaded sermons that they preach all year because it can get messed up very easily, and that's not my purpose today. But when we look factually at fathers right now in America, we have a serious problem. You may have seen a news story a few days ago. It talked about the crisis of fatherlessness in America. The estimates are right now that we have more than 18 million homes in America, more than 18 million, which lack a dad. There is no father. A wise dad is hopefully at the center of our home, or has been the center of our home. God intended for men, faithful men, wise men, to be leading their home. And we still have, thankfully, some fathers who seek to fulfill that role. When we look at the male in the home, when we look about the dad or the father in the home, it's often the case that that dad, that man, is going to set the tone. You, if you are a father, if you've seen some fathers in the younger years, it can be especially challenging. Guys are trying to, and the moms too, they're trying to kind of figure things out, sort things out, and hopefully they get a little better as time goes on. But God intended for the man to lead, to guide, to rule that home, and faithful fathers seek to fulfill that role. In addition to Matthew chapter 24, we have some information in Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. Here Jesus, in talking about people, did not use the word that we have in the earlier text. He uses now, rather than use the word wise, he uses the words well done. A little later today, there are probably going to be some people here who have a meal prepared for them, or perhaps they're going to go out and prepare the meal. They're going to cook some food, and the food, the meat, might be well done. Now, maybe that's how you like your steak. Maybe that's how you like your burger. Maybe not. But you probably know, if you are a meat eater, that when we talk about a piece of meat being well done, we mean that there is no red. You can't find any pink in the piece of, for example, beef. We think about medium, that leaves some pink. We think about medium well, there is just that touch. There is that small amount of pink. But when we talk about well done, we're talking about a piece of meat. We're talking about something to eat which is fully cooked. Well, look at dads. There are some dads who, if they were to receive a letter grade, it would be an F. They are failures. We also find that as we look at our society, that there are some dads who would receive the lowest passing grade, maybe a D minus. And then we find some fathers who are average, or maybe they're a little above average. No dad is perfect, but we can be a faithful dad if we are a man. We can be a faithful father. And when that man, when that dad is trying to be faithful, again, it's not a perfect life that he's living, we can say, just as we find here in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, well done. Two of my first jobs involve cooking restaurant food. Looking back at that period of time, I can safely say I think I cooked literally thousands of steaks and burgers. That first job came to me through Ponderosa, and while we were there, they sent their managers to cooking school, I guess, at least the Ponderosa cooking school, and they came back, and they tried to train young people like me in things like sear marks. Now, maybe that's not important to you. Maybe that's not important to a lot of restaurants right now or ever again. But there was a time, there was a day, and perhaps it's true even in more upscale places now, that when it comes to putting food on the table, as far as a restaurant table, it wasn't just a matter of getting it out in a timely way. It wasn't just a matter of getting out while it was hot or getting the requested doneness. They wanted pretty meals. They would have some garnish on it. Teresa and I both put our fair share of garnish on meat. And they also wanted sear marks. Ideally, it would kind of look like a tic-tac-toe table. You would have marks going this way, and then you had marks going this way. And if you were able to get a steak to the right doneness, and if you were able to get it out on time with the garnish, and it looked pretty, that was the standard. Sometimes great dads are like great steaks. They go above and beyond. Sometimes their dads, they have, if you will, to use the steak analogy, they have the right doneness. And they have the beautiful sear marks. And they even have the garnish. I mean, it was a five-star act, whatever dad did. But there are also times when we think about dads and sometimes moms where, if we use a food analogy, they are barely able to get food on the table. The food may not be pretty. I'm sorry. It normally doesn't look like this, but this is what you're going to have today. And the food might not be cooked to perfection. It might be it's a little underdone. It might be that it is a little overdone. And it may be that we're eating off paper plates today. We don't have the finest china out. We've got plastic silverware. But at the end of the day, by the time we get to the end of the meal, everybody was fed. Everybody is reasonably full. And maybe we even had a little something for dessert. When we think about parents, and especially fathers, again, the life may not always be easy, but oftentimes kids have a safe place to sleep. There are enough clothes to wear throughout the year, and there are things like jackets. Some parents and fathers can certainly fall into this trap, moms too. But parents can look at their lives, they can look at their efforts as far as their children and the things that they're trying to do, the things that perhaps they did now that their kids are out of the house, and they can look back and say, we failed our children in so many ways. We should have done this, we should have done that. If we could go back and do it again, we would make these changes, we would have these alterations, we would perhaps do things much differently. We need to remember, and this is true, whether we're raising kids or we have lost someone who has perhaps struggled for a long time with health issues, and as we look back perhaps and think about what was done, we did the best that we could at the time. We did the best that we knew how. We did the best as far as our capabilities. We were, to the best of our ability, faithful. We find that faithfulness is a choice for each one of us, young, old, man, woman, married, unmarried, mom, dad. And the Bible says that we can be faithful even to the point of death. Now, John, of course, was talking about being faithful regarding the Christian life, living that life. He was writing to some people who were persecuted beyond our wildest imagination. And early in the book, one of these congregations is told, you'll be faithful. And that faithfulness, God told those Christians, you'll be faithful even to the point of death. If they want you to surrender your life for the sake of Christ, you continue to have Christ as Lord. You refuse to acknowledge Caesar as Lord. And that is the choice that we want to make in life, both to God and also to our family. We find, though, that people can make some other choices. It's possible to not be faithful. We know that because of what we find in Luke chapter 16 and verse 11. Jesus said, if therefore ye have not been faithful, it is possible to not be faithful. Jesus said, if you've not been faithful, in this case he's talking about money, the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches. Now, I don't hear the word mammon used too often. Chances are you don't use or hear the word mammon too often, but if you're unfamiliar with the word, mammon is simply another way of describing money or wealth. Here Jesus talks about unrighteous money. He talks about unrighteous wealth. The Lord knew that it is possible to use money or wealth in a bad, dishonest, or evil way. Now some have the idea, or they seem to have the idea, that money is inherently sinful. If that were true, it would be wrong to have money in your wallet. It would be wrong to have money in your spare change carrier in your car. It would be wrong to have money in your purse. So that's not the point that Jesus was making. He is making the point, though, that it is possible to use worldly wealth in a wicked or evil way. There have been some dads who have been unfaithful with money. Have you ever known of a father who worked? Perhaps he worked long. Perhaps he worked hard. Maybe he made good money and maybe not. But he earned his money. And each, maybe Friday or whatever the day was, each week he got paid. I've known some dads, they earned good money, and they took the money that they earned week by week, and they gambled it away. Their family suffered because of the gambling addiction. Or there have been some men that I've known, they were husbands, they were fathers, and they took their money, and they spent that hard-earned money on someone other than the family. And I've known some men, perhaps you have some as well, as far as your contacts, they earned a good living. And then when it came payday, they went down to the bar, and they drank away a large part of the check. But then I've also known a number of men, and I'm glad to say that this is the majority, who have gone out, they've worked, and then they have taken the fruit of the labor, they've taken the income that they have earned to help provide for the family. And when that happens, you find that a man is doing his or her best, at least in this area of his life, to be faithful. And when we find people who do that, they need to be commended. One day a year is good, but we should do that more. And the same is true for those who are wives and mothers. We do find that not every man makes that choice, sadly. America is a land where we see that in a very vivid way. When we find fathers who are not willing to be faithful in this area or some other, they need to be encouraged, and we should pray for them as well. If you have a faithful father, if you see faithful fathers around you, perhaps you have some faithful men in your extended family, be grateful for them, appreciate them, and commend them. Well, somebody says, why would a man not be faithful? I mean, he gets married, has children, and at least on some level, he loves his children. Why would people not be faithful? There are probably a dozen different reasons as far as answering that question, but I'll share with you at least one. Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. Here's our word faithful again. And when she, that's Lydia, was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be, here's our word, faithful, if you've counted, if you've regarded me to be faithful to the Lord, she said, I want you to come into my house. I want you to stay with me. I want to show you some hospitality. This Christian understood, at least to some degree, the concept of faithfulness. And she said, if you think, if you regard, if you see me as a faithful Christian, then let me extend some hospitality to you. Well, here we have an important principle. When we think about the man who has been a poor father, he can become a Christian. God gives him that right. God grants that permission. And that will help him, through that faithfulness, become a good father, whereas that was not formerly the case. We might have a non-Christian who was not a bad father. He was a good father. Becoming a Christian will make him a better father. When we have a non-Christian who's been a great dad, we have a Christian who's been a great dad, making him a Christian when he becomes a Christian, that will turn him into an exceptional dad. Some dads are not Christians. And some dads who are not Christians have lived some very fine lives. They've been excellent dads. But when we think about being a Christian father, that does kick things up into a different realm. It changes the person's behavior, as we see here with Lydia. She was motivated to do this, and she tied that willingness to the idea of faithfulness. When we live that Christian life, when we seek to be faithful to God, that helps us prioritize our life. It helps us put things in the right places and to head in the right idea. In a world where seemingly day by day things get more upside down and inside out, the ideas and the behavior seems to get more bizarre week by week, Christian parents, especially dads, can have a solid foundation. And they can turn to that foundation. They can use those bedrock principles again and again. That should be desirable for people in our day and time. People say, well, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if that is right. I believe in this. I believe in that. None of that stuff has to be true. The dads can say we have an absolute standard. We have a flawless standard. We have a standard from God, and this is what it is. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to go out and check the weather, so to speak, and see what the majority are thinking, doing, or believing. We'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. We have a part of a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he talks about Timothy. He said, I'm sending you a young fellow. There's this young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy had done some preaching, and Timothy said, he's my beloved. But he's not only my beloved, Timothy was a faithful Christian. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, as he tells them about Timothy, he says, this young man, when he comes, he's going to put you in remembrance. He's going to remind you. He's going to share with you some information about my ways, my behavior, my thinking, my teaching. He says, these are the ways which are in Christ. And then he said, these ways, he said, I teach. And he said, I don't teach it just here or there, but he said, I teach these ways. I teach this system in every single congregation. Well, as we look at Paul, sometimes people go to a religious group and they will say, well, what do you believe? What are your practices? Do you believe this? Do you believe that? The religious world has a lot of variations because it does not completely follow. It's not committed to completely following the New Testament. But when we think about dads, part of being faithful is committing ourselves to the pattern that we find in the scriptures, and that helps us be consistent in a lot of areas. When we find that dads are following the pattern of the New Testament, Ephesians 1 and verse 1 also comes to mind. Paul identified himself as an apostle of Christ through God's will, and then he says, there are the saints at Ephesus that I'm writing to. And he says, these are the faithful who are in Jesus Christ. Here, Paul, as he uses the word faithful, he associates it with the entire congregation. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1 says there is a way of living which is described as in Christ. A few days ago, a neighbor was talking with me. And as we visited for a little while, he said, you know, you remember that I worked construction way back when? And I said, yes, I remember. He said, well, I don't know if I ever told you. And I'm assuming that he worked in a larger city at the time. But he said, all I did in my younger years, when I was on the construction crew, all that we did was drink and fight. Got liquored up and went out and beat each other up. That was what life was about. When we think about Christians, they head in a different direction. They may have been doing things like that in the past. But when we think about someone becoming a Christian, I'm no longer involved in that kind of activity. I don't know how long it's been since this fella has had a drink. I don't know how long it's been since this fella has gone out and engaged in a fist fight with somebody. But based on his age, I suspect that it's been quite a few years for at least one, and likely both of those things. When we think about dads, we're thinking about people who are faithful. We're thinking about people who have changed if they were not a Christian before, not a Christian early in life. We're thinking about people who have changed their behavior, and now I'm trying to live in a much different way. The word that we're looking at happens to be applied to women in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11. Paul, in this discussion about deacons, he says women in like manner must be. Not that they could be or should be. He said they must be grave. They're not to be involved with slander. They need to be temperate. And then he uses the word faithful, and he says they need to be faithful in all things. Now, trying to do all things well is difficult, regardless of how talented one might be. And sometimes we might want to do several things, and maybe several things well, but we're pulled in so many directions that we simply cannot get it all done, or we cannot do some things as fully as we might like to do. Jesus once spoke about a woman, and he said, this lady has done what she could. If there is a verse which is helpful to parents, Christian parents, that's it. You have sometimes done what you could do. And that's also true for dads. You might have the best dad in the world, but dad or mom can have some circumstances where they cannot do all that they would like to do. A job might not be enough for a dad. It might be that there is a father who needs to work two jobs, and maybe even three, to make ends meet. Because that dad is trying to keep food on the table, to keep clothes on the backs of his children, because that father is trying to keep a roof over their heads, he says, I'm sorry, son. I can't go to the baseball game. I want to come. I want to see you play. To the daughter, I want to go out and watch your soccer game. I want to go out and be a coach. But I'm working two jobs, sometimes a third, and it's simply not possible. And then there's a dad who has some major health issues. I'd like to go. I can't get out of bed. I can't get there because of the wheelchair. Some major health issues are going to keep me in the hospital, and I can't attend. Then their dads, they lose their wife. And as they look at that changed relationship, for whatever reason, sometimes death, sometimes not, that dad, that father can feel like there are so many shortcomings. I'm just coming up short. There are things that I want to do, there are things that I want to do better, but I simply can't. And then there have been fathers who have had to deal with difficult custody issues. Maybe they had some hand in creating the issue. Perhaps they did not. But to the dads who seek to be faithful in all things, a principle that we have from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, good for you. Continue to do that as you live your life. As we think about the role, the power that dads have, that role, that power extends to future generations. As we look at the word which is translated faithful, Paul used it again in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, you have heard things from me. And the things that you have heard from me, you have heard these among many witnesses. And now, Timothy, what you have heard from me, those ways that we have in Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, I want you to commit. I want you to share. I want you to implant this information into the minds of others. And you find faithful men. And these faithful men need to be able to teach others also. Paul wanted Timothy to help prepare future generations. He wanted him to find some younger men who would be able to help carry on the gospel. If you look at craftsmen, and the world has always been like this, I suppose, but as you look at people who have various skills, they oftentimes will help perpetuate a business. Son, let me show you how to use a power tool. Here's how to use a hammer. Here's how to nail a nail. Here's how to screw a screw. Here's how to read a tape measure, those kinds of things. That kind of thing also needs to happen in the church. People need to be taught, so that the truth will continue to be presented in a good and effective way, and that we will continue to have men who can serve as Bible class teachers, deacons, preachers, elders, etc. If you're trying to do that, continue on. That is an excellent work. It's also a biblical work. The ladies sometimes help instill in the younger mind some of those same truths and continue to be faithful in that regard. We need to encourage people to hold fast the faithful word, as Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. I've never been a big art lover, but I am a little familiar with Michelangelo. If you go back and you look at Angelo's work, you find that in the Sistine Chapel, when he was painting the ceiling area, the story tells us that he was on his back, literally up high, hour after hour after hour doing that detailed work. Who would know that if his work was perfect or not? Well, nobody's going to get up this high. Nobody's ever going to see it. Don't have to pay as much attention there. Don't have to use the finesse. Almost like when this structure was built. I remember one of the stories from the general contractor. One of the reasons why he was hired, I believe. Businessman had him work at one of his factories. And he came back and he was painting an area that nobody would have seen. High up in the ceiling. And the business owner asked the contractor, why would you want to do that? A lot like Michelangelo. Who will ever know? Angelo said, I will. Just like the one who helped construct this building. Faithfulness is a required quality by God. It's a good quality. It's a wonderful quality. But it is also a biblical quality. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, as far as the spiritual side of life, Jesus said, that's what I'm calling you to. Faithfulness even to the point of death. There's some things in life which are really precious. If we have a parent, a mother, a father, a grandfather who seeks to be faithful, and we're not talking about a perfect life. Nobody can achieve that standard. But someone who is trying to be faithful to the family, faithful to God, faithful to the church, faithful to the employer, faithfulness is their goal. It permeates their life. Recognize them, commend them, encourage them, and we would even say emulate them. We have a world which is filled with unfaithfulness in so many ways. And if you know a man today who's seeking to be faithful, say, Happy Father's Day if he's a dad. And if not, say, you're a man who I believe is faithful. Good for you. If you are someone who in the spiritual realm is not faithful to God, perhaps you've not yet become a Christian. You believe in him and you really want to live in the right way. Confessing Christ, it takes less than a minute. And being baptized into Christ, it takes about two. Come up out of the watery grave of baptism, and God says, I'm faithful, I've forgiven you of every single sin, and now I charge you to be faithful all your days. If you want to start that faithful life to God today, you can, and we'd like to help you. If you're someone who has become a Christian and faithfulness has not, over the last weeks, months, maybe even years, typified the kind of life that you've been living for God, this morning you can say, I want to again be faithful. If we can help you in the area of faithfulness or assist you in some other way, would you let us know how as we stand and sing?